A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. Happy Championship Day to you right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Is that a thing? Jay Catch, Championship Day?
Yeah.
That's where we're at. I mean, the Utes, of course, down in Vegas today. Coverage all day long right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Of course, you're going to get the Utah pregame show. The Utes pregame show is going to fire up at 5 o'clock. Hanson Christian are going to bring you that from Vegas. So it's a really, really good time to be listening to some talk radio, like an old school way of just being like, I'm going to get my whole download on how this game is going to go down. And we've got tons to bring here for you as well. Scott Mitchell is also down in Las Vegas. He's at the stadium right now, and we're trying to get him connected via the Wi-Fi down there. Technology is part of the deal. Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television is also going to join us. But as I mentioned, Jake Hatch joining me today. Jake, thanks for hanging out on a Friday later than usual.
And hey.
This is what we do, right?
Happy to do it. I love doing what we do.
It's fun. Look, it's not your normal type of work.
Uh-huh.
It's a ton of fun. So we're going to jump in. That's what we're going to do today.
Scotty talks all the time. Like, this beats digging ditches.
This is not digging ditches.
Yeah, exactly.
1,000% it's not. So yeah. It's one of these things that we're looking forward to. The Utes and the Trojans tonight. It's game day. These Friday games are interesting, though, too, Jake. That's one thing that I think that we've asked a bunch of people this week. Is like, so why is it on a Friday? Like, I mean, I know it's just Fox, essentially saying, here's when you're going to play, but why can't it be on the normal championship day that everybody else is? Is it just so they can have that singular, like, everybody's dialed in on this one game on a Friday night?
I think that was the idea when they signed this deal to do it, but let's be honest. Friday nights in college football, the ratings, they don't match up.
Like, I'll tell you right now, like, look, Jazz fans tonight are going to be torn.
Yeah.
They're going to be at the stadium trying to watch a Utah game at the same time.
Yeah, go dual screen, yep.
I mean, that's honestly what's going on. I'm going to the game across the street tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I also am like, hey, man, I got to get my fill of both. It's not good. It's ridiculous.
It is. And that's the weird thing about this is you're going to have to pick what you are going to focus in on tonight.
No here's what we're going to do. Jake, you're familiar with this. When we start the show off, we do the cut, and that's where we start everything at the top of the hour here. And hopefully we've got Scott Mitchell via the telephone lines now that we figured it out. So that's where we start things with the cut. Let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, Unrivaled and The Cut brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Give them a shot. G2G Bars, you've heard us talking about them. They taste amazing. Joining us from Las Vegas, he is, of course, on the radio call tonight for the Utah Utes. He's putting on a different hat. He's usually, of course, hosting this show with me, Scott Mitchell, on the program here with us. Scott, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. Just sitting in the Death Star waiting for Darth Vader to show up. But it's good.
Who's Darth Vader in this instance? Because really, both teams try to malign the others.
It's the vaunted like villain. It's the USC Trojans.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it was kind of funny. I woke up today and I was like, hey, this is a season that started in a swamp, is ending in the Death Star, and hopefully it all turns up roses.
There we go.
I just can picture Scott with his hair all tussled, and he's like, I'm writing that down, like next to his hotel bed. I got something I'm going to say.
I already posted it.
He did. I actually saw it on social media.
You know what? Good for you. I'm just proud of you for posting something on social media, Scott. I'm like, this is an exciting day for us.
Blind squirrel every once in a while.
Scott, okay, final thoughts here, because we're trying to figure out this game, and out of all the talking that's been happening today, and we're doing a little bit of it obviously today, what are we going to really take away from this thing? We know that it looks like Cam Rising, Dalton Kincaid, and Clark Phillips are all a go. I don't think people wondered if they were going to be a go. The question is if they're going to be 100%. We've seen them playing at some level of being injured, so where are they right now? What do we know about that?
Yeah, it looks like all those guys will play. Jonah Ellis is the other guy. It's just a question of whether he'll be out there. And he's very important because he's a guy that can get pressure on Caleb Williams and also is athletic enough to chase him down if he scrambles. So I believe most of those guys will play. I mean, this is a game where you don't have a game next week, you know. So if you're a little banged up, it's like go as hard as you can. You're going to get some rest. And it's a chance to go back to the Rose Bowl.
Well, Scott, I thank you first off for letting me sit in your seat today.
That's very nice of him. Yeah,
very, very, very nice of you to let me fill in. But
you're always welcome.
Hey, thank you. When it comes to this matchup, there's been so much talk, and we've done it on DJ and PK, Jake and Ben, Hans and Scotty, this show as well, all week long, talking about the rematch between these two teams. And it was a one-point game the last time. You mentioned all the injuries, the question marks around Utah's football players. Where in your mind has USC either improved or changed the most from that first matchup a month and a half ago?
Well, I mean, every team, like when you have a team like USC where they're all new and they have all these transfers and they've played well, but they've seemed to get better across the board on both offense and defense. And they have changed a little bit of some of the things they're doing, but they just have more experience. I think it's a bigger change maybe on defense that they've, you know, they've gotten better and they seem to be playing more cohesive. But in general, you know, just they're just playing. They're just kind of a team that just has gotten better and better as the season's gone on.
One thing that we've been like watching and trying to figure out this whole week is also, you know, this defense has gotten better. How good is the Utah offense, though, compared to when they were playing USC that first go-around? Because that's the question mark, right? But guys like Thomas Yasmin are people who you're looking at and you go, we got to get more out of you. We got to have a hurdle this game because that's when we need this type of a thing to happen for the Utes because people are going to have to show up. There's obviously you're not getting the same running back room, and Jaquinnon Jackson, you know, had a really, really nice week last week, I think, to make people feel like, hey, this he might be able to take over and it'd be a good time to do it. What has to happen on the offensive side of the ball for this thing to work, other than just, you know, the obvious of Cam Rising having a good game?
Well, yeah, I think the defense will play a lot better and maybe get some stops. But offensively, you're going to have to be explosive, and Cam Rising is a big key to that. So he's got to be able to move and be mobile, and that's one of the things that he's been so effective at, especially on third down. And he was injured actually the last time Utah played USC, but I think he's at full strength. And it's just a question is Andy Ludwig going to open it up and get a lot of these other guys involved that, you know, does he trust them enough? Does he trust the Money Parks? Does he trust Jalen Dixon? You know, how does Jaquinnon Jackson run in this game? These are guys that really haven't had a lot of championship experience. They're good, but you know, it's all new to them. And can Utah be explosive enough to keep up with USC? And you just hope your defense can slow down, or are you going to get a game like you had at Oregon, where it was just a very, very slow, very boring, very vanilla offense? Andy Ludwig's just got to unload and just throw everything he can at USC in this game.
Yeah, and I think that, well, I mean, one of the things that we've been talking about all week, too, is just like, who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be the X factor? Who's going to be somebody different that you're waiting to kind of just unleash, so to speak? And is there one of those guys that we still haven't really seen, like, be their best, that they're going to ask to be the best version of themselves today for the Utes to be able to get that Pac-12 championship?
Well, you know, we talked about USC getting better as a team, and I think with some of these injuries and some of these younger players playing for Utah, specifically on offense, I think they've gotten better. Those guys have gotten comfortable, and they've got game reps, and they have confidence that they can go out and execute. And so, you know, you've seen Monty Parks get involved. You've seen JaQuindon Jackson. And these are guys that have game-breaking ability. And the other thing you have, you have Nate Johnson, the really fast quarterback.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him involved. Anywhere you can create explosive offense, and that's game-changing speed players. Hopefully Utah will have some concepts and packages ready to do that.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, so, Scott, I'm just glad you didn't say Tavion Thomas like a certain ESPN personality decided to do.
Never heard of it.
Well, it's not just Tavion Thomas. Like, cue the sound, Jeremy, of him scoring a touchdown so we can, like, really get an idea of what kind of a guy this is. So it's not going to be him.
Yeah.
But at the end of all this, USC might be – last year it was definitely Utah trending up. Mm-hmm. Is USC the team that's trending up this year? Or is it just us, the perception that because USC gets all the attention as it is anyway?
You know, every game is so different, and it's just kind of how you react to, and it's usually the last two games you played. So USC played really good against UCLA and won an emotional rivalry game, and then they played in another rivalry game the next week against Notre Dame. And won there. And so you kind of, does that emotion and that kind of overconfidence play into you kind of maybe being a little lackadaisical in this game? Because it can happen. You know, you get too full of yourself and maybe you just don't quite respond the way you normally do. Or do you just kind of keep riding the wave? And Utah, on the other hand, little salty. You know, Coach Whittingham started out the beginning of this week like, hey, we're the underdogs. Kind of like no one's respecting us and everyone's forgot about us and we're hearing about this Heisman Trophy quarterback, blah, 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 blah. And maybe they come out with a chip on their shoulder and ready to play. And, that's the fun thing to watch and see, you know, how these teams show up from a mindset, because I think that really is probably the most important factor in what happens to this game. Who comes out with more desire, more energy to win a championship?
Now, we've seen USC make a remarkable turnaround here, Scott. It went from 4-8 a year ago. Now they're 11-1. They're in the top four in the college football playoff rankings. Would this not be the most Pac-12 thing in the entire world to have Utah spring that upset? As you said, have that rosy feeling after tonight, but at the same time have the entire Pac-12 lamenting the fact that they missed out on another playoff opportunity.
Well, the reality of the Pac-12 is there's just a lot of good teams.
It's been a really good season, overall.
There's not a great team, you know? I mean, you got six teams, I think, in the top 17 in the country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anything is possible every week. I mean, you know, this isn't a shoe-in for anyone across the board, either with Utah or USC, you know? So, really, it's a team that shows up, doesn't make mistakes, is explosive on offense, and really, it's the team that can play some defense.
Right.
I mean, that's who's going to win. I mean, shoot, we may end up with like a 17-14 game.
Please, no.
You know, that would be a Pac-12 thing to happen right there.
Sure. 17-14. And everybody's like, you just lost the Heisman Trophy for your 17-point performance tonight, Caleb Williams. I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't. I'm saying Utah's 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can dig that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Either way, low teens or a teen number that you're getting. Scott, before we let you go here, obviously you drove down. What's the comparison of like how many folks have been making this trip versus how many made the trip last year? And obviously you're not going to have as much of a wild, disparity of everybody loves talking about the percentages of who's in the stadium more. How much of Ute Nation is making this trip and how much that stadium is going to be full up of a bunch of Ute fans?
I'll tell you what, I saw the same thing I saw a year ago. I saw a lot of red walking around here as I came to the stadium today. And of course, Utah or USC has their faithful, but I think it's going to be a bigger crowd. It maybe won't be quite as partisan as it was last year, but it's still going to the Ute faithful are showing up. There's a lot of folks here. I mean, it's so easy. It's an awesome stadium.
Right.
I mean, it's a great game. Why would you not want to see it? So.
Yeah, and kudos to the people who all made it down because it was like the worst time to be able to drive down. If people still try to make that trip this morning, I know of some folks who did, it was really dicey. So there are going to be some folks who are barely making it to the game, and hopefully they do. Scott, we appreciate it, man. I know you're in the stadium. You got some pregame to do, but thanks for hanging out with us for just a minute here.
Yeah, of course. Always glad to.
There you go, Scott Mitchell. All right, we'll see you later.
Be a fun game tonight.
I don't know that I get nervous because I'm one of those like I get a little bit pessimistic where you go, I don't know. I just don't believe in this year's version of Cam Rising right now. I know that last week he had a good game against Colorado, but like you think about the last big game that he played was not a good one. It was maybe you go from having the game of his career was probably that USC game, right?
Absolutely.
And then you go from that, and then he's not 100% after that game.
Well, he paid the price for that performance.
And then you get to the point where you go, all right, so he's not 100%. He sits out Wazoo, ends up coming in and playing in some of these other games, but you know the competition wasn't the level that they were necessarily anticipating. I mean, the competition level was exactly what they were expecting. Was just like, okay, we got to get through these guys, get to Oregon. And in Oregon, they still had a chance to win that freaking game, Jake. And he threw the three picks that were just not Cam Rising-like.
Every one of them was brutal.
And he doesn't give the ball away like that. But Scott's big thing has always been it's because he's not been 100%. Like, he's not throwing that accurately because when you have lower body injuries – and it's that knee in his case.
You got a knee brace on it, yeah.
You start making tweaks all over your body to make sure that you can still throw and you can still work it out, but something suffers on the throwing technique and on the mechanics.
And that's exactly it. His accuracy last year was one of his calling cards, and this year it's almost a night and day difference, but it's glaring, I guess is probably the best way to term to use to describe what's happening. But you're right. When you're not 100% physically, you're going to have to alter your mechanics to account for that type of an injury. And Utah, let's be real. They've got to have the best version of Cam Rising tonight if they want to win this football game. It was a one-point game in Salt Lake City with him at the peak of his powers. They need that tonight again.
Well, and the slow start didn't help the Utes last time.
No, it didn't either.
That was
yeah.
such a huge deal. Uh-huh. I think for this game is if Utah can just weather whatever offensive storm that certainly USC is going to come out with.
Sure, yeah. And
they had success with that last time. They're up 21-7 real quick, knocking on the door to 28-7.
Correct.
And then the tides kind of turn a little bit, and you see the defense kind of start, shutting down. That second half for Utah, that's the defense you need to show up. And, man, it's a really fun thing to think that Utah is now in this same position that they were last year. And to be able to get to that Rose Bowl again is just based off of how they performed tonight, and who cares how you got there? Like it's not you don't get bonus points for showing up in a certain way. Like they have the same exact record that they did last year going into this game.
Yeah.
So they won their 10th game of the season last year, a year ago today, and that's where we are today. They can get their 10th win. They go to 10-3. They'll likely be a top 10 team, and then sky's the limit. You go to the Rose Bowl, and you're going to probably face. I think the word has been Penn State is kind of like been the favorite now, at least for some sources who are saying that.
There are reports out of Columbus saying that Ohio State would opt against playing in the Rose Bowl if everything holds. So essentially, if they had their pick.
What would they want then?
I don't know, honestly. I honestly, you want to go? Oh, no.
Cotton Bowl.
Jeremy knows. It's Orange Bowl, right? That's the conversation.
No, the Cotton Bowl is the like at-large, isn't it?
Cotton Bowl is going to be American winner versus – because here's the thing. If Utah wins, where's USC, Ohio State, who they pick, and that's one spot.
Got it.
So why would you want to not give up? Well,
that's probably what that's what Ohio State's probably looking for too.
Yeah. And one of the
if we could get USC, then we'll take it.
Yeah, and one of the reports I read with Ohio State potentially opting against playing in the Rose Bowl, some of them were saying they somehow would find their way into the Orange Bowl, and I'm like, how? But whatever. So
And now it's a wild next couple of days. What I like about this is that for as much as I don't like the Friday game, for as much as I don't think the Friday game is a good, I think that it, anyway, it's fine. It's in the middle of everything, and it is what it is. It's exactly what it's been over the last however many years. It's tonight, after this thing's all said and done, you know where everything's going to be. Everything else is just done, and tomorrow then you watch all these championship matchups, and then everything shakes out to be what it is. But Utah knows if they win this football game, they go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they're likely headed to
the Holiday Bowl. Going to San Diego.
That's not bad, though.
It's not bad.
Wait, what happened to the Las Vegas Bowl? That's out.
So the Las Vegas Bowl, it's down the pecking order, I guess.
Right, it's further down for sure. Alamo, and why not the Alamo Bowl then?
Well, and see, the thing, the Alamo Bowl is also in play for Utah, but it was Alamo Holiday, and one of those two is going to pick Utah, almost guaranteed. So,
boy, and Utah's like, please, Alamo Bowl, pass us up, please. All right, let's take a break here. Hey, when we come back, we got so much more to talk about today. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television. All sorts of coverage across the board here from Las Vegas as we get you ready for Utah and USC tonight. Also, there's a dadgum Jazz game. The Jazz are looking to go to a two-game win streak. Can you call it a two-game win streak?
Yeah.
I think it has to be three to be a win streak.
Well, and that's you're going with a major league thing.
You cannot be.
We won a game. We won tomorrow. That's what they call a winning streak.
Yeah, maybe. You got to win three, I think. So we'll take a break here. Happy Friday to you. Happy conference championship day. And look, wherever you're at, stay safe driving out there because it's going to be cold the rest of the day. And we got another storm rolling in at some point this weekend. So Davis Vision has extended its Black Friday sale. Biggest sale of the year, by the way. Save $1,400 off of LASIK in December. It's a great time to use the savings from your FSA or whatever it might be. Davis Vision offers flexible, no-interest financing as well. So check them out, davisvisionmd.com. Get on the schedule, davisvisionmd.com. We'll come back. Jay Catch sitting in for Scott Mitchell, who we just chatted with a little bit down in Las Vegas. He's calling a game tonight there. And we'll get to much more on your Friday here with you on a shortened edition of the show as we'll have the Ute pregame show starting at 5. Stay with us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.